Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, a few number here, and the online folks, I'm sure, outnumber us quite a bit, but I'm very glad to do this, and so very glad that we have this ability to broadcast around the world and you know, meet so many different people and you know, be blessed by those that tune in for the broadcast. And what a blessing it is to know that folks are watching, and from our little church here in Jedburgh, we can reach throughout the world. And it's just amazing to just think of those things. For me, anyway, it's just amazing how we started all those years ago, just with the DVD ministry, and, you know, started with the wee Wi-Fi dongle that we weren't sure if it worked or not, and we tried to broadcast a few things, and sometimes it would work, sometimes it wouldn't, and then to broadcast regularly. And now, you know, all that God is doing is just going from strength to strength, and we praise the Lord for that. Okay, let's look in Luke, the book of Luke, and chapter 12 this morning. Luke chapter 12 this morning. Luke chapter 12 and verse 11 is where we're going to start. Luke chapter 12 and verse 11. It says, "And when they bring you into the synagogues," apparently I'm growing feathers here. So it's not what it says. "When they bring you into the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour what ye ought to say." Let's skip on down to verse 22 of the same chapter there. And it says, "And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." He said, "If God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, of ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Hallelujah, 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 amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus. God, we're so grateful to be here today. We're thankful for all that are watching, all that are here today. We pray for Naomi, be with her, help her be well. And Lord, pray for others that are struggling with illnesses or health problems. We pray for their healing. Lord, we pray for each one that's watching, each one that's listening, and pray that they would all be blessed by the lesson here today. We pray for those that will be watching later on as well, that this might be a blessing to someone today, and that people might be encouraged and strengthened by the message here this morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for all that you've done and all that's been set up, and pray that you bless in all things that we do today. For your honor and glory, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So sometimes we think about planning ahead, you know, and we think about what we're going to do and what we're going to do and do these things. And so often as we plan, and it's good to plan. I believe God has a plan. I believe God has a plan for each one of us. And God planned a lot of things before the foundation of the world. And he talks about the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. So God knew. It wasn't really God's will that he had to die. I mean, it was God's will that that Adam and Eve didn't sin, that we lived perfectly. But God knew it was going to happen, so God had prepared a plan for that. It doesn't mean that God designed us so that we would sin and that we would have to sin. That's not, still gave them a choice, but he knew, in his foreknowledge, he knew that he was going to have to send Jesus because of Adam's sin, and therefore our sin as well. But he says here that to take no thought about what we're to say when people question us, because the Holy Spirit is going to give us the answer. Now, That's all well and good. However, if we don't read the Bible, if we don't know verses, what is the Holy Spirit going to use in this way? We have to understand that God can use us in great ways and God can give us the words to say. However, we have to put in the knowledge there to be able to use that. We have to know those verses to be able to use that. You know, sometimes somebody might ask you a question you never actually thought of. But if you've put the time into the Bible, the Holy Spirit will give you the answer. But if you don't put time into learning the Bible, He's not going to give you the answer. It's just like going to for a classroom to study for an exam. If we haven't studied, why do we think God should then give us the answers for our questions? No, I don't believe that. The Bible says the laborer is worthier of his hire. And also, we find in the scriptures that the idea is for us to work and to work at something to achieve it. And so I believe that the Holy Spirit will teach us. And if we don't know the answer, the Holy Spirit can give us the answer. But we need to be listening to Him. And if we're not reading the Bible, then a good chance that we're not really listening to Him as well as we need to. Jesus says, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. But again, there's principles there that are underlying that. There's principles here that Jesus is talking about. Don't worry about these things. But there's also the principles of, are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we using our finances wisely for the Lord? Are we doing it as God wants us to do? Are we giving God His part? Are we doing what He wants us to do? And so when we say these, take no thought for that, we leave those things to God. We do what God has instructed us to do, and we let God take care of the rest. You know, and so there is some forward planning involved, but there's also some things that we need to for us to plan and things that God plans. There's certain things that we need to take care of, right? Now, we could get up in the morning and say, right, we're just going to sit here till breakfast lands on our doorstep. Right? Or we're going to sit around the dining table and wait for dinner to cook itself. I think we'd be there waiting there a little while. So there are certain things that we need to plan for and we need to prepare for. You know, we're preparing for the revival meeting there in Bicknell. Right? And so there's a lot of planning that needs to be involved in that. But there's certain things that we're letting God take care of. So, okay, God, you've picked the dates. This is the dates God wants to do. And there's the campground. It's going to cost X amount of this, and X amount for food. Things like a car. We need to get a car. And things just like, okay, Lord, you take care of that. We'll plan it, and we let God take care of the rest of it. So we wait, or you know, praying for the money to come in for the rest of the camp and for the car rental and for places to stay as we're going. So these kind of things that we plan, this is where the Lord wants us to be. And if that's where God wants us to be on that day, then God's going to prepare us a place to stay. I mean, let's say this. If God has prepared us a place for eternity, He can prepare us a place for one night in Florida. Or one night in Atlanta, or wherever it is God's going to got us for. You know, so God takes care of these things. So it's important that we do our part. And we listen to the Lord and God says, okay, this is what I want you to do. Maybe God says, I need you to take this journey. And you say, okay, Lord, where am I going to go? And God says, this is where you're going to go. Or like when He said to Abraham, get thee out. Now where am I going? I'm not telling you yet. Get out there and I'll show you. So he stepped out by faith and went. Now, he wasn't walking along saying, well, where's the nearest Super 8? You know, I'll get in there. Oh, Holiday Inn Express. Excellent. You know, room for camels as well. Yep, perfect. Great. Sorted. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that men stepped out by faith, not having the ability to rely on motels or public transport or things like that. But yet they still stepped out by faith and did what God wanted them to do. I mean, you think about the apostles, they just went out by faith and God took care of them. Or Elijah, how he's fed by ravens and drank of the brook. You think all the faith that these men had. You know, they didn't just stop by an Asda on the way and say, okay, right, I'll just take this. No. Give me a couple of packets of jerky and a couple of water bottles. Great, good to go. They didn't have those things, the modern conveniences that we rely on. So a lot of times in this day and age, people don't have the faith that they had back then because We don't really need to rely on God because, well, oh, there's an ASDA or there's a Super 8. Okay, there's a place for us to stay or there's this person or whatever. But God is telling us, told them there to not worry about these things. There are certain things that God wants us to prepare for and plan for, but other things God says, I'll take care of that. Certain things God says, you don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I know you need these things. Follow my commandments. Do what I told you, and the rest will take care of itself. But the problem is sometimes is we try to seek something that God doesn't want us to do. We try and seek a journey, and sometimes it doesn't work out for us. And I know this myself because I've been there. We try to do something that we think is that's where we want to be, and this is where we want to go. And that's where that song came from, The Journey. Because so many times it's like, this is the plans I'd wanted to do, and this is the plans I'd wanted to go. And God says, no. That's not what I want you to do. And so those plans went aground. Those plans failed. Why? Because they were drawn up by me. It wasn't God's plan. And it wasn't until I thought, okay, God, whatever it is you want to do, that I then became content with what God wanted me to do. As long as I still desired to do my own thing and do my own will and make my own preparations for the future and whatever it was that we were doing, I wasn't content with doing what I was doing. But then when I said, God, okay, whatever it is that you want us to do, we'll do that, and that's what was going to happen. Then I became content. I said, well, I don't have to have that. I don't have to have these things. A lot of things didn't matter any lower. A lot of things just were insignificant. They just went out the window. It's like, well, things you used to really enjoy that. Yeah, I did, but it's insignificant. It doesn't matter anymore because these things don't matter in the grand scale of things. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6, 33 says the same thing. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Sometimes we get bogged down in worry about what is going to happen, what might happen, rather than saying what is going to happen. And I know this myself, I've done that. Oh, well, this could happen and that could happen, all these things as well. Okay, but what is going to happen? What is God going to do with this? And we say, okay, Lord, you got this. God, you're taking care of these things. And we just let God deal with it. You say, why? Because God knows the future, amen? God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. God knows what's going to happen next week. God knows what's going to happen 3 years from now, 10 years from now, 50 years from now. God even knows what's going to happen 1,000 years from now. Right? We know at least 1,000 years because there's 1,000 years reign of Christ. So we can safely say at least 1,000 years of actual time before time basically is no longer exists. He said, I just blew your mind, didn't I? Imagine that. You say, well, what is it? Well, we can plan ahead. But only God knows what's going to come to fruition. This is why we must seek the Holy Spirit in all of our plans. In all the things that we do. If we're going to plan something, we need to say, okay, Lord, what would you have us to plan? Now, Naomi and I both said, when you know people asked us who were coming to the States, and we both said, look, Lord, you're going to have to show us exactly. And basically, God, you're going to have to give us the tickets for us to go. Number one, we can't afford it at the minute. And if you want us to go to the States, Lord, just buy us the tickets. And so guess what happened? The tickets got bought, right? And so we thought, okay, then that's the Lord wants us to go. And we prayed about it. We sought the Lord. And I thought, okay, this sounds like a really good time to go. And we'll go in this time. And the Lord says, no. Okay, and so I jumped ahead of the Lord there a little bit because I started to plan it myself. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. Is this really what the Lord wants us to do? And I just stopped and thought about it, and the Lord said and spoke. And then it became September, October. Okay, and then it all started falling into place. Now, I've planned trips to the States maybe at least one since the last time I was been there. I started to plan a trip. Nothing worked out. Nothing would come to. I felt the Lord was calling us to go and do this, and felt this. Nothing was working out. Couldn't get the dates. Couldn't get things. Nothing would come to fruition. And so because of that, I said, okay, these plans are not working. God doesn't want me to go. Because every time I've planned a trip to the States, everything just goes into order. Or if you were watching the other way. All right. It all just fits into place. And for this trip, it's all just fitting into place where these things are going to happen. And, you know, so we started off, we were going to fly into Missouri because there's we're going to fly into Kansas City, sorry. And it's on the border. But there was a car company there that would rent us a minivan for $300 and some a month, which is a pretty good deal comparing for like £2,000 it was going to cost us from rent enterprise. And so we're going, okay, we're flying there. I've got someone that we can stay with. They can pick us up. We can do that. Right, that's what we'll do. And we'll fly in and we'll go down this way and then we'll come up and we'll do the camp. And then it changes. Well, I don't really think the Lord wants us to fly in there. Then somebody else says, well, maybe I can get you a vehicle from this person. Okay, right, we'll fly in there. And then we thought, well, hang on a minute. What about all our stuff in North Carolina? All my guitar, all some of my clothes, and all our display stuff. So we would have to go up there to get that. And then we said, well, why don't we just fly in there? Wouldn't it be better? And so we prayed about it, and the Lord said, well, that, if you'd listened to me to start with, that's where I wanted you to fly in. It's like, okay. You know, because we thought about that to start with. And so we thought, well, how are we going to get a vehicle? Maybe we can find that. Then Naomi got on the internet and found that there's a car company about an hour away from the airport. And they don't actually charge very much. It's done by donation. So we need to work. I'm not saying that's where God's going to do, but we're planning on God providing the vehicle. And so we have to stop and we say, okay, and this way and that way and whatnot. And people send in money for this. People send money in for that. And people send in praise. I'd like to do this. I'd like to do that. And everything's working out. And so when things work out for the Lord's plans, you know that it's God's will, because just you pray about it and God answers, and you pray about this and God answers, and you plan this and God brings that. It's when we start planning things and things start just not happening. And I'm not talking about the devil or the enemy trying to hinder the plans. You can tell when it's trying to be hindered, right? There's a lot of hindrance with what, especially with the tickets, there's a lot of hindrance. But we knew God was in that, and we prayed and God did these things. But when things just do not fall into place, you've got to stop back and say, is this really what God wants me to be doing? Is this really the thing that God wants me to do? I remember when I was doing sales, and I went out and did a bunch of sales, had a fantastic week, came home with a massive paycheck. The next week went out and didn't sell a thing, and struggling. And then Thursday night, I went to see someone. And I've been visiting him for a while, and he got saved that night. Every question I had an answer for. I sometimes had an answer before he even asked the question. We were talking about something, and he went to ask the question, and I gave him the answer, and he just looked at me like, how did you even know I was going to answer that question? It's the Holy Spirit told me. He says something else. And so that man got saved that night. And I'm just elated. Praise the Lord, the man got saved. And I was driving to work the next day. I was driving to another sales appointment. And just thinking, this is not enjoyable. And I went to the sales appointment, and we fluffed through it and all this. I said, I really don't enjoy this. And I thought to myself, you know, this is not for me. What we did last night, that was great. That's what I enjoy doing. And so I packed it in. I packed in the sales job. So that's not, because it wasn't working out. It wasn't what God had called me to do. God called me to preach. And so it's like, fine, done, leave it. You know, and Naomi and I had tried different things through the years, and sometimes we made a good bit of money, other times we've met some people. But that's not what God called us to do. God called us for ministry. And if God has called you for ministry, you can't be happy doing anything else. I understand that we have to support ourselves sometimes. And sometimes it's necessary for a husband or a wife to take a secular job. I understand that. But when the means is there to provide through the Lord, you won't be happy in a secular job. You won't be happy doing the things of the world. You're going to be happy doing the things of God. Now, God can call you to do a secular job and you can be extremely happy in it because that's where God has put you to be. But if you're not happy there, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. God's plans for us often are the last thing that we would think about. I've seen some people that God had a plan for them and they've rejected. I've seen other times God had a plan for someone else and it was completely opposite of what they wanted to do. But when they were submitted to God and said, God, okay, I'll do your will. Spoke to them many years later, says, how is it working out? He says, I love it. I never thought we'd do this, but this is exactly where God wanted me to be. I said, how about that? Praise the Lord. You know, we remember in Genesis chapter 37 about the certain man. You know, Joseph was wandering about in the field, and he can't find his brothers. He doesn't know where they were. And a certain man, it says, found him. So a certain man came upon him, found him. So what was that certain man's purpose? To find Joseph, to tell him where his brothers had gone. God had to have planned ahead for that certain man in several things. Number one, that certain man had to know who Joseph was. Number two, he had to know who his brothers were. Number three, he had to be there when his brothers said, let us go to Dothan. And number four, he had to be able to come back at the certain time that Joseph was wandering in the field. Number five, he had to speak the same language. We say this as an angel or what? We don't know. But this is a certain man. But God had ordained a certain man. God had chosen a certain man to do this purpose. Right? This certain man had a purpose to do. Right? He was ordained to do this certain purpose. You could say he was predestinated to do this purpose. Now that man could have decided that he wasn't getting up that morning. He could have said, right, well, I'm just going to leave it alone. But he didn't. He goes and he follows the Lord and he speaks to Joseph and he tells Joseph where his brothers have gone to. Now let's ask ourselves, what would have happened if that certain man had decided, no, I'm not going to bother. He'll find them on his own. What would have happened if he'd made the wrong choice there? He hadn't done what God had wanted him to do. What would have happened? Let's think about it. Joseph wouldn't have found his brothers. They wouldn't have sold him into slavery. He wouldn't have been part of Potiphar's house. He wouldn't end up in the jail. He wouldn't have been recommended. And he wouldn't have interpreted Pharaoh's dream. He wouldn't have been able to prepare for the 7 years of hunger or famine. And he wouldn't have been made second in all of Egypt. Most importantly, Judah would have died out, which means that we would not have a Messiah because he came out of the tribe of Judah. One man and his task. But this is where God's planning comes into fruition. Or we see these plans come around. That God in his foreknowledge ordained that that man should be there at that right time. See, there's no mistakes with God. When God puts someone in our path for just such a time as this, as Mordecai has said, for such a time as this, then we say God had a plan right there, right now, for us. Now, that could be to help us or for us to help them. That's where we need to figure it out. What about the woman at the well in Samaria? Right? In John chapter 4, right? It says it was about the sixth hour, which means it's 12 o'clock. It's noon. Sixth hour is about noon, right? People don't draw water in the middle of the day. They draw water in the morning. They draw water at night back then, right? They get it going. Why? Because it's cooler those time of days. The middle of the day, the sun's right overhead. It's getting a bit warmer. But this woman comes at this time, and it just so happens that Jesus just happened to decide he was going to go through Samaria. Now, let's understand that Samaritans didn't mix with the Jews, and the Jews actually would walk around Samaria. And Jesus said, no, he must needs go through Samaria. The Bible said he must needs go through Samaria. In other words, he had planned to go through Samaria. God's plan was this, that he was going to go through Samaria. He was going to sit down on that well. That woman was going to come. She was going to speak. She was going to get saved. And a ton of other people were going to get saved because of that. Now, Jesus could have said, well, let's just carry on and we'll walk around it like the rest of them. And nobody would have thought anything of that because that's what they always did. But Jesus said he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because God's plan had a purpose and he needed to fulfill God's plan to the latter. Why? Because of one woman. Because this one woman is going to end up in the Bible. How many people did Jesus speak to that ended up in the Bible? Not as many as he talked to, that's for sure. A lot of people Jesus healed, a lot of people Jesus talked to didn't make the Bible. She did. She did. Why? Because Jesus must needs go through Samaria, because that was God's plan. Because he knew, God knew when that woman was going to come draw water. She wasn't going to come with the other women. She wasn't going to come in the morning or in the evening. She was going to come at noon. Why? Possibly because of who she was. Jesus said, thou hast five husbands, and the one that you've got now is not your husband. He pointed to her adultery, and she realized, well, you must be a prophet. He said, well, I know that Messiah is going to come. He's like, I'm he. It's like there's some preachers out there said Jesus didn't claim to be Messiah. Well, I think if you read John chapter 4, then he says, I that speak unto thee, I'm he. It's like, yeah, I mean, that's pretty evident that he is the Messiah. So she was at the well at a specific time to meet Jesus. You see? What about the blind man, John chapter 9? If he hadn't been there at that time, if he hadn't been there, would he have ever been made well? He made the Bible too. Why? Because he was right there at the right time for God to do these things. He had to be sitting at the right place in that city at that time. If he decided to go to another city or another part of the city, Jesus would have passed him, just would have passed by, and he would have never known because he was on the other side. But God has plans, folks. God has plans. And it's our duty to ask him about what he wants us to do so that the big plan can be filled. We seem to think that we all have this, our own agenda, and we have to do our own thing and all this, and we don't realize that this is a family of God we're talking about, and each one is family, and we're not going it alone. That everything God is doing, God wants us all to work together. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that other people are there with us. And sometimes we do feel like Elijah, and we're like, we're the only one here. But even in Elijah's day, there were still prophets of God. They were hidden in a cave. But Elijah thought he was the only one. And sometimes we feel like that. I know I do sometimes. You just think, my goodness, seems like I'm the only one that wants to do this. And you just, then God reminds you that there's other people. You know, you think, am I the only bloke around here that wants to do something for God? And then God reminds you there's other people. I think one of the greatest miracles in the Bible is about the five loaves and the two fish. You say, oh, that's fantastic, Lord. You know, God, fantastic. You know, that, or that's not full of fantasy, but that's amazing. That's amazing. No fantasy about it. That's amazing that God, that Jesus could take five loaves and two fish and feed that many people. No, no, no. That's not the amazing part. That's not the amazing part. The amazing part is this, that the boy still had his lunch. He hadn't eaten it yet. That's the amazing part. You know, this little boy, five loaves, two fish, and he hasn't eaten it. But also, the day is far spent. This boy has this lunch or whatever he had with him. It's a desert place, but they sit down in green grass. You find green grass in the desert. 5,000 men beside women and children. And they think, well, we've got five loaves and two fish, and what are these among so many? It's what Peter says. Andrew says, sorry. So what are these among so many? He said, sit down in the green grass by 50s. He does, and he prays, and he breaks the bread. He breaks the bread. That shows us that breaking of bread is not communion. It's breaking of bread. It's literally feeding people. And so he breaks the bread, he blesses it, and he starts divvying it out. And everyone fills as filled, and they take up 12 baskets of the fragments remain. I don't know what happened to the baskets. I don't know. But I wonder if this happened. that the boy went home. And now maybe he had been sent to get the loaves and the two fish. Maybe that was going to be their dinner. Maybe it wasn't his lunch. Let's say it wasn't his lunch for a minute. And he goes home and he says to his mom, and his mom says, "All right, did you get the loaves and the fish?" He said, "Yep." "Where are they?" "I gave them to some guy." "You did what?" "And he fed 5,000 people with them." yeah, okay. "Where's the 5 loaves and the 2 fish?" "No, come on, seriously." He said, "No, I gave them away. I gave them away to Jesus." And there's a knock at the door afterward. And they open the door and there's the 12 disciples of the 12 baskets. "Hey, where do you want these?" I don't know. I'm just thinking, because I mean, that's kind of the way God works. Because if you think about Elijah with the woman, he said, "Make for me first." And then the oil didn't run out and the flour didn't run out. You know, until everything was restored. You just think that's the way God works. You give it to Jesus first, and then he takes care of the rest. And we give to Jesus first, he's going to take care of the rest. This boy gave him everything he had. Now, I'm not saying that that's biblical. We don't know what happened to the 12 baskets. But I just think it's in God's character that probably ended that boy. Because what were we going to do, waste it? Is it just going to be wasted? Because God doesn't do waste. Somebody got it. And I think it was probably this little lad. And of course, we know in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." So he was prepared. Jesus was prepared for the foundation of the world to die for our sin. Now, let me ask you this, right? It says he was foreordained. It means the same as predestinated. Okay, here's a question for you. Did Jesus have a choice about going to the cross? Yeah, he did. Why? Because he said, "Not my will, but thine." He knew if he didn't go, that we'd all be lost. We'd all be unsaved. We would have to continue with sacrifices and stuff. And we could have done that. We could have still been sacrificing today and still been cracking on. But Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Did Jesus have a free will? Absolutely, because he said, "Not my will, but thine." I don't blame him. As human, knowing what he was going to have to go through, he said, "If there be any way, any other way, to not have to do what I'm about to do. If there's any other way, let this bitter cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done." Proved that he had a free will. And proved that we have a choice too. Jesus had a choice, either go to the cross or not go to the cross. But he chose the cross. Now, I'm not going to hit on a whole heap of doctrine here, but just think about that one. That God does have plans. God ordains his plans, but oftentimes those plans don't go according to God's plan because we mess them up. Some people say that we don't have a choice in whether we get saved or not. That God picks who's going to get saved. Some people say this. But then they say, "But we have a free will about sin." Well, why doesn't God just save us? And then we stop sinning. Why doesn't that happen? We can't have no choice to be saved, but then have a choice to sin. Because many people that are saved, and they're still sinning. And all of us, when we got saved, we still sin after we got saved. Because through the process of sanctification, we started cleaning up our lives as God dealt with us. Because when we got saved, we didn't know the things that we know now. And the more we learn, the more we want to be cleaned up. And so we learn something new in the Bible and say, "Okay, God, that's what you said in your word, right? That needs to be out of my life." Does that mean that we weren't saved? No, of course not. But we have a choice to hear God's word and receive God's word and then start walking in God's word. And when someone brings up a point of our sin or shows us our sin, we have a choice. We can choose to go back, or we can choose to remain in our sin, or we can choose to follow the Bible and say, okay, I want to live for God. I want to do what God wants me to do. Is it, what is God's will for my life? Say, well, I believe God wants us first to be saved, because God is not willing that any should perish. The Bible says that Jesus died for not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. So that means he's prepared a place, he's prepared a propitiation for everybody, propitiation for everybody. Everybody's sins are paid for. It's waiting for us to ask for forgiveness, that he might apply that to us. God wants us to be saved, number one. God wants us to follow the example in baptism, showing forth the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. God wants to die. God wants us to be in church. God wants to be baptized in a local body. God wants us to be a faithful servant. Now, here is where it differs for each one. So we know God wants us to be saved, baptized in church, and serving God in a local church, in a local assembly somewhere, as a faithful servant. Now, here's where, like I said, it differs. God may want us to be a church worker. So God may want you to clean the toilets. God may want you to run the sound. God may want you to sweep the floors. God may want you to teach Sunday school. God may want you to be a deacon. God may want you to be a teacher. God may want you to be a preacher and then a pastor. God may want you to even be a missionary. God may want you to be a police officer, that you be able to tell people about Jesus within that. God may want you to serve in the military, that you may be able to tell people about Jesus in that respect. We can't say what God wants for your life. I can't tell you what God wants for your life in that specific, but I can tell you that God wants you to be saved, wants you to be baptized, and God willing, in an assembly. Now, I know sometimes it's hard to find an assembly, but the Bible does say where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. Now, I know it's very difficult in these day and age to find a church that is on par with the scriptures. I understand that. I understand that's why a lot of people join with us. And I believe that we're gathered together in spirit. Though some of you may be miles away, we're gathered together in spirit. I can't see y'all sitting there, but I can imagine where y'all would sit. That's why I look over there. Sometimes there's an empty chair, but I'm, you know. We feel people gather together in spirit. And I hope that people feel that at home, even though you're on your own, but you feel part of the service, part of the worship, part of the church as you're there. What is God's plan? And I've said that. To be saved, to be baptized, and to serve in the Lord in some capacity in his purpose. Not everybody in the army can be a general. Not everybody in the Air Force can fly a fast jet. Not everybody in the Navy can skipper a ship. There's got chefs and guards, armory men, mechanics. So all these kind of jobs. And in God's service, there's all these kind of jobs as well. Not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody's a Sunday school teacher. We realized this, you know, these last couple of weeks, that not everybody can do what Stan did with the sound stuff. You know, we've had that buzz for ages. And he comes in, he sets it up, and it disappears. Then it came back. And then, then it went away again. And it came back, and then it went away again. Figured the things out. Not everybody can do that, Brother Ronnie. Not everybody can do what you can do. I'm talking to everybody. Not everybody can do what you can do. Not everybody can reach the people that you can reach. We plan ahead in God's plans. That our plans are God's plans. And when we do that, we will find whatsoever state that we are in to be content. Right. Unless you're driving through Louisiana, and then that's a different state. No, I'm kidding. But whatsoever state you're in, you can be content. Why? Because you believe and know that you're in God's plan. And if you are, the stuff of the world doesn't matter. The things that this guy has over here, that doesn't matter to me. The thing that this guy's doing over here, so maybe at one point I wanted to do that as well. That doesn't matter. Why? Because I'm where God wants me to be. That doesn't matter anymore. They're insignificant. It's not a big deal. Where is it God wants us to be? Because when we think, like the song says, it's not always your destination, but it's the journey. So how many people are you going to meet on the way you take? It's not always how fast we get there, but the footprints that you'll make. In other words, the things that you do along that journey are going to stand the test of time. Others may come and see where you were and say, okay, it's that way. Now we can flee through it, or we can take our time, and we can, in God's time, leave those footprints for others to follow. When you think you're getting nowhere and the finish you can't see, well, you might just be exactly where God wants you to be. And that's a personal testimony, because sometimes you think, well, what is God doing? What am I doing here? And it's the case, God is saying, right there is where I want you to be. What is it God is wanting us to do? Let's do it. And let's do it together. Not by ourselves. God doesn't want lone wolves. I'd really care for wolves anyway, in the spiritual side. But God wants us to do this as a family. And God has planned that in that way. So wherever it is that God wants you to be, find out where it is, and I guarantee you'll be content and you will be happy, and you won't have to worry about what God's going to take care of things, because God's going to take care of it all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and what does it say? Not our righteousness, but his righteousness. And all those things will be added unto you. You watch and see. God take care of it. Give him first. Do what he's going to do first. Follow his commandments. Do what he wants to do. All these things will take care of themselves. Because that's what the Bible says. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we do come to you today, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your blessings of the day. Thank you for testimonies, Lord, that we can know that we're content in the things that you have for us. Lord, let us never be content in salvation of souls, though, Lord. Let us always desire to seek more for your kingdom. But let's always be content in the job or the position that you've put us in to be and to do. And let us do it with honor and glory brought to you. Let our light so shine that others would see our good works and glorify you, Lord. Bless now this invitation, and pray for those watching at home that you would speak to each one, and Lord, each one of us might know exactly where you want us to be. Again, we give you praise, Lord. We give you thanks. Pray you be with us now and bless us in this invitation and all things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come this morning, please do.